Okay, so you can look at this talk that I'm going to give in two ways. One, if you're a seed producer, this is really a neat little tool that you can use to give your growers a neat online experience with regard to field isolation. So that's one thing. The other thing is that if you're just a person who likes to be involved in mapping, this is a tool that can be used in a variety of different ways. So there's two ways to look at this particular talk. We have kind of been using this particular system for a couple of years now, and we're really excited about sharing it with you. It's nothing that we designed. It's just we're using it. It's free, which the growers really like, and it's something that we hope that you enjoy here. Okay, so I live and work in Yuma, many of you know. We're a fairly large production region. There's a lot of sunshine. What else can I say about it? We're part of the Colorado River Basin system. All the acreage that you see in that satellite image is irrigated through the Colorado River, and there's quite a bit of lettuce and leafy greens that are grown out there in the desert during the winter months. We've been at this thing for about 100 years there. Although there's been quite a bit of change over the last 100 years, we still do a lot of harvest by human labor, which comes across the border of Mexico and so forth. Ranking pretty high in just about every agricultural commodity in the state and in the nation, we rank quite high in vegetable production, particularly in the winter months. Obviously, in the summer, it's pretty hot right now, so there's not a whole lot going on in terms of vegetable production. Things are just getting geared up right now. A speaker before me talked about broccoli. We do grow quite a bit of broccoli in Yuma as well. But we also grow vegetable seed crops there. So some of the seeds that you may purchase from Johnny Seed, or I've noticed there's quite a bit of seed catalogs that are around, a lot of that seed is grown in the desert during the late fall and through the winter months. And to do that requires field isolations, so that the hybrids that you purchase are actually true to type. Those hybrids that you buy are actually hybrids. And so, as was pointed out just a few minutes ago, broccoli, for example, is grown in Yuma. We grow quite a bit of it as a fresh market product, but there's also broccoli seed, and I'm not sure if anyone has seen broccoli seed, unless you just let the broccoli go to head and then go ahead and flower. It forms these pretty cool salix, almost like canola. So it's obviously a relative of brassica. And so when we grow broccoli fresh market, there's a certain requirement for fertilizer and all different management practices for fresh cut. It's a totally different ball game when you're growing broccoli for seed, and a lot of growers have figured that out. And so there's a variety of different seed crops in the desert. There's celery, carrot, basil, lettuce, all different types of flowers. It's kind of a neat area to be in, because there's fresh market stuff, but there's also a lot of seed production that takes place, and it's a whole different sort of growing pattern when the seed producers talk to me. One of the common themes in vegetable seed production is this: bees. And so the bees are involved in pollinating the fields, and there are six beekeepers in the Yuma area alone, and they supply growers with boxes of bees for pollinating, and so bees are a vital piece to the hybrid seed production. And obviously bees fly, and so if a bee happens to travel from one field and then travel to a field across the street, then that pollen contamination could really do a serious damage to that particular seed crop. I know the onion guys that are growing white, red, yellow onions, you don't want to have a pink onion. So anyway, that's a big deal. And so the industry, through some research that happened probably about 100 years ago, have determined that there's a 2-mile radius that has to be established between seed crops, seed fields that are producing vegetable seed. So you can see here that this is an area that is in the Yuma area. It's a very small little sliver of ground in between two mountain ranges. This is an onion field here. I drew a little 2-mile radius. There's another onion field here. Although they're the same company, they don't want to have any bees travel from this field over to this field. And so when you have 15 different seed companies in town, keeping that all organized is a pretty important piece, and it's a very challenging sort of problem. And so that's where Cooperative Extension comes in, and my role is to provide them with a service, and that is a map, a regional map that all the companies participate in so that they know where their competitors are so that we don't have any isolation problems. So a pin map, maybe some of you know what a pin map is. It's a very common tool that's used well over, when hybrid seeds first started becoming common back in the 1940s. A seed pin map was a vital piece to the puzzle. And in our particular case, the seed pin map that we developed back in the 1930s was still in place back in 2002. It was simply a paper map that we mounted in between some glass, and you can see the pins in here, and it was under a lock and key, believe it or not. There are some legal issues when regard to pins and field locations. So this was the technology back when pinning first began. And many of you who are involved in the seed industry have a map that's very similar to this one. The companies are designated here on the left. Each company then has a pin, and they place it in a particular field location to identify their fields relative to their competitors or even their own fields. So the paper map is something that obviously is sort of archaic. It lacks and still lacks detail, resolution. It's very difficult to archive. Some folks take a photograph of the crazy thing, and then that's what the map looks like. It's very cumbersome to use. Some of our locations are 50 miles away, and growers or seed reps would have to drive into the office to place a map or to place a pin on the map. And so it was a very difficult tool to use, but that was the only tool that we had available. Back, I guess when the internet started to take root, some folks before I became part of the University of Arizona developed a pin map that was based on a computer design back in 2002, 2004. It was extremely cumbersome. It required quite a bit of computer programming. It was very expensive. Growers hated it because it was sort of relying on a dial-up connection, and obviously no one likes that. To make any sort of a change in the software required a consultation with a programmer, which was a pain in the neck. It took days instead of minutes to change, and it ended up being a failure. So we went to a system which included a very large, a 6-foot by 4-foot satellite picture, and that was what we used back in 2005 up until a couple of years ago. Essentially, seed growers would like to know where are their fields really precisely. You know, even a quarter mile or even, 300 feet could be the difference between life and death if you're a seed person. So the satellite image that we provided them, you can see here on this particular pin, it actually isolated the field, not necessarily the section, which is the square here. So this is the kind of resolution that seed producers want. And so if you're just a map person, obviously this is something that you want. You want a very refined map. And so we went from paper map to a computer model, which didn't work. Then we went back to a satellite image, and that worked for quite a bit of time for us. And now we discovered Google Maps, Google Map Engine, which I don't know if any of you are involved with. So this is something that has just come out. It was made available to the public in 2012, and we were fortunate to discover it. No one told us about it, but we were trying to find an answer to refined online mapping. And instead of developing our own, which was a failure, we thought we could reinvent what we did 10 years ago. And so we went to this. We discovered this. You might want to write this down, mapsengine.google.com. You need a Gmail account, which was a semi-challenge to get growers a Gmail account. For the industry that is very, very protective of their fields, one of the nice things is that it's password protected, very grower friendly. It provides real-time mapping straight away. So if I place a pin here in Florida right now, within minutes, that pin could be visualized in Arizona within seconds after I put the pin in, which is totally cool. You can use it on your cell phone. It's a web-based system. It uses obviously robust satellite imagery, and it's capable of a wall presentation via a TV overlay. And I have a video to show you that we have created a giant iPad using a 60-inch television, because there is still that wall-friendly component that mapping requires. If you're working with a bunch of guys, no one wants to be huddled around a little laptop like that. You want something on the wall where you can talk and move your fingers around. So what I want to do here is show you this little video that we threw together here for a minute, and then I'll answer any or all questions that you might have. So I hope this all works. All right, so I'm going to stop this periodically. I'm going to make this larger. Okay, so here's the technology. This, if you just want to visit the map, if you just want to understand how the map works, go to mapsengine.google.com and you can go ahead and use it. And that's what a lot of folks are using in Yuma or in Arizona that I work with. If you're trying to develop a wall system, this is the wall system that we have been using for guys that would like to crowd around a map on the wall. You can put five or six people, and then they want to see what the map looks like. So this right here is an infrared overlay that we bought. They're pretty common right now. So you can purchase these infrared overlays that fit on the surface of a flat panel television. And essentially, the flat panel TV is converted into a computer monitor. And the wiring of the overlay is connected to this little laptop computer that we have here on the right. If someone wanted to, they could manipulate the map through the computer. However, the overlay is the key when we're trying to work with a lot of different growers. So this is the system, and this is me. This is me using the television as a kind of a giant iPad. So I can stretch it. I can move the map. Now this is me using the measurement tool. So remember, isolation distance is a key. And so there's a field location here. There's a field location here. And I want to know the distance. Growers want to know the distance between their competitor and their non-competitor so that there's no contamination in these fields. So this is me drawing a line. It's 2.8 miles. And that's part of the Google Map system. And that's me playing around with the map, moving it around, just showing you the neatness of it, of how it works. It's very similar to an iPad. This is a shot of me getting information about that particular field location. So this shows that it's a red onion by a company, and then I'm pointing to the date at which the pin was placed in the map. I'm actually putting a pin in right here. So I just touched the screen. I'm typing in the name of the onion, in this case, the date that I pinned it. And there they all are. So this area here is an area where all the pins are located, and the pin that I just placed is right here, and it's added right over here on the left. So it's a really neat system. So whether or not you're an onion or a seed person or not, it's a really cool tool just to use for mapping in general. And with that, I'll stop, and I'll answer any or all questions. Keep in mind that thing is free. Yes?
So how does this change how your pinning day works?
How our pinning day? Okay, so he was asking pinning day. So in our particular area, it's actually a pinning season. So our actual pin season began in the Monday after July 4th, and pinning ends the middle of August. So it's not a one particular day. Since there's so many pins being placed on the map, guys are always, right now anyway, they're looking at where the pin's located, and they're trying to find isolations that are available. So it takes quite a bit of time.
One more question.
Yeah.
So without all the growers in the same room, how do you resolve conflicts?
By phone. So they all know each other.
Fewer blows.
Yeah. There's quite a bit of give and take in some of this stuff. Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.